Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and if you've been following along as a student in this school, then you know we're in John chapter 17, and this is that last great long prayer that Jesus prayed with his disciples before departing into Gethsemane. There he prayed alone. And in John chapter 17, we've been studying and noticing how that Jesus had prayed for himself, and then he prayed for his immediate disciples. We're looking at a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of February the 8th, 1925. And after explaining how Jesus had prayed for his immediate disciples, he has a subtitle in this lesson called A Greatly Needed Lesson. Let me read that to you. Elam wrote, "Let us learn here a sadly needed but woefully neglected lesson. In the words of Jesus, we exclaim of the present generation, 'O foolish men and slow of heart to believe Jesus and to learn from him this lesson, since his teaching was not his, did not originate with him, but was the teaching of God, then no man should attempt to teach any theory, opinion, or wisdom of his own. Since Jesus did not even desire to do his own will, but prayed that his will be not done, then no man should seek to have his will done. There's a vast difference between our own will and any man's will and God's will. Since Jesus pleased not himself, but did always the things which please God, then no man should seek to please himself or to have his own way in matters of God's service. Let us all determine now and forevermore to please God only, and to teach only his teachings, and to do only his will. All clashing opinions, all strife, divisions, warring factions, and religious denominations are so many violations of God's will, are so many sad failures to learn this needed lesson from Jesus. It is very grievous to hear people making loud professions to be Christians only and only Christians, while sadly failing, if not even refusing, to follow Jesus only and fully." And we're going to continue with this lesson in just a moment. Before we do, I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And as we said earlier in this program, we are looking at Christ's intercessory prayer as given to us in John chapter 17. Jesus had prayed for himself and his immediate disciples. And now in John 17, 9 and 10, Jesus prayed not for the world. Let me read that to you. Here it says where Jesus says, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all things that are mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them." What does it mean that Jesus prayed not for the world? Jesus prayed for his disciples at this time because he was going to leave them, and they would soon be scattered as sheep without a shepherd. He foresaw what would befall them. In this prayer, he did not pray for the world. He never prayed for the world as such, as an institution, for he came to overcome the world and to give his disciples victory over it. Satan is the prince of the world, We read in John, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, "The whole world lieth in the evil one. The spirit of the world is not the spirit of Christ." 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. "The world cannot receive the Holy Spirit." John 14, 17. To be a friend of the world is to become an enemy of God. Because James 4, 3 through 5 tells us, "The friendship of the world is enmity with God. The world hated and killed Jesus, and it will always hate and seek to destroy his church." Jesus prayed for sinners, as on the cross, and teaches his disciples to do the same. He teaches them to pray for their enemies, to do good for evil, to pray for all men. Matthew 5, 43 through 48, and 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Instead of being of the world, God has given these disciples to Jesus out of the world. They had been cleansed by the word of God, John 15 and verse 3, and had been separated from the world, and it had been given to Jesus as fit material out of which to build his church and to prosper subjects for his kingdom. Jesus and God being one, Jesus said, "And all that are mine are thine, and thine are mine." Jesus and God are separate in nothing. I'm glorified in them. How? Because they were one, keeping God's commandments and doing the work of Jesus. So Christ's disciples continue to glorify him today. Now, under the subheading in this Sunday school lesson of "that they may be one," we read in John chapter 17, 11 through 13, "And I am no more in the world, and these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep them in thy name, which thou hast given me, that they may be one even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in thy name, which thou hast given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves." Jesus knew he would be crucified on the morrow and would be no longer in the world, but that his disciples would be left by him in the world to accomplish the great work of preaching the gospel to the whole creation. His first petition for them was that God would keep them in his name, that they may be one. To keep them in God's name was to guard them from sin and to help them remain faithful and true to the word of God. God's name is wonderful and stands for his power, manifested in his wisdom, grace, and love. How are Christ's disciples one? Even as we are. Just as God and Christ are one, Christ's disciples must be one. They had asked who was the greatest and who sought the chief places in Christ's kingdom. And Jesus taught them that the servant of all is the greatest in his church. And now in deep sublimity, he prays that there be no envy, jealousy, self-seeking, and love of place and power among them. How glorious it would be if the church could manifest this spirit and unity and become free from jealousy, envy, pride, self-glorification. But on the other hand, love as brethren, each counting others better than himself, and honor preferring one another, and each seeking the good of others. In the additional lessons, let us study further this unity and peace of this sinful division. Jesus guarded and kept his disciples in the Father's name while he was with them. Not one of them was lost, but Judas, the traitor and son of perdition. And this was in fulfillment of a prophecy. You may want to consult that old prophecy in Psalm chapter 41 and verse 9. This was not done in order to fulfill prophecy, but foreseeing Jesus would do this, God foretold it. Then one of the 12 departed from the right way, grew in sin from bad to worse, until under the full sway of Satan he betrayed the Savior. He, by transgression, fell. Jesus' next petition was that his disciples might share his joy in full. What joy could Jesus have under such circumstances as these? The joy of conscious obedience and faithfulness in all things to God, of victory over Satan, and of anticipated glory. Here it is. He, for the joy set before him, enduring the cross, despising the shame, and hath sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. That the world hated them and would ever hate them is another reason why Jesus prayed for his disciples, and should be another reason why his disciples today should love not the world, but should keep unspotted from it. Jesus prayed for all who should ever believe on him through the word of the apostles, as stated further on in this prayer of Jesus. He prayed for all his disciples for all time, for their unity and peace and final glorification. That's the end of this Sunday school lesson. But at the end of this, Elam wrote additional notes. This is under the title, Additional Lessons from Jesus' Prayer. And Elam writes, this prayer manifests so abundantly and forcefully the profound interest of Jesus in his disciples and his great and everlasting love for them, and contains so many most important lessons for the church today, we should study it with a most intense earnestness and to its sublime conclusion. Besides praying for himself, Jesus makes 6 different petitions for his disciples, for them all, for all time. 1, that they may be guarded and kept in the Father's name. 2, that they all may be one, even as he and God are one and perfected into one. 3, that they may be kept from the evil of the world. 4, that they may be sanctified in the truth. 5, that they all may be with him and share his glory which God gave him. And 6, that the Father would love them even as he loved Jesus. Would one ever desire to sin against such a Savior and such a Father in heaven? We sing, can a child forget his mother's prayer? I ask, can we ever forget this prayer of our Savior offered for us? The word world is used as many as 18 times in this prayer, and it shows that it is hated for Jesus and for his church forever, and the salvation of his disciples from it was on Jesus' heart. Keep them from evil, our Lord said. Jesus would soon leave this world, but he did not pray that his disciples should go with him. God could have translated them with Jesus, as he translated Enoch in Genesis 5, or Elijah in 2 Kings 2. But that was best. They were left on the earth as the light of the world and the representatives of Jesus. Before them was the great work of going into all the world and preaching the gospel to the whole creation, Mark 16, 15 and 16, and making disciples of all nations, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. This work was necessary also for the development and salvation of the apostles. Here we should receive encouragement to do our work zealously, to bear our burdens cheerfully, to endure hardness as a good soldier of the cross. But his disciples, having been left here for this grand work and noble purpose, Jesus prayed the Father to keep them from the evil one and not to lift them out of tribulation, but lead them not to temptation.